Amen. This is the word of God that saves us. Why don't we put our hands together for the Lord and our pastor as he makes his way?
Oh, come on, let's praise him just a little bit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and give him praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, give him praise. He is great. Greatly to be praised. Praise God. Aren't you glad today to be in the house of the Lord? Yes. Amen. Do you feel Jesus in this place? Yes. You know, Pontius Pilate said when he brought Jesus up, he said, What will I do with this one called the Christ? Every one of us have to deal with him. Amen. Every one of us have to choose. It's a decision that we all make of what we'll do with him. I don't know about you, but today I choose to call him the Lord of my life. I choose to worship him. I choose to bless him. I choose to magnify him because he's the King of glory. Amen. That is heaven come down to save you and I from our sin. Aren't you grateful today? Amen. That you know who Jesus is. Why don't we give the Lord another great hand clap in this place. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I give honor today to all that are gathered in the house of the Lord. And I know that we have many guests in this place. Remember when I was young, I used to ask my dad, I would say, where are we going? Dad had 5 kids and he would load us up in the car. And he would say, we're going to the getting place. Now, that most of the time meant the store, the getting place. We knew it was a place we was going to get something. But I'm glad today that I know I'm in the getting place. Amen. Amen. What am I talking about today? I want you to know that whatever you need from the Lord, you can get it right here in this house. You need healing for your body today, I believe you can get it before you get out of the house. Amen. If you need delivered from addiction in your life, I believe you can get it right here in the house. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can get it right here. Amen. Even while the word is being spoken, you can get it. Why? Because we're in the getting place this morning. Praise God. God is good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my. We're going to go to the word of God, and I'm going to do my best, amen, to be brief, and that's hard to do for me. Our church folks know that, but I'm going to be merciful on most, amen, but I am going to preach the word just for a little while, if that's okay. How many know we got to have the word? Amen. We got to have the word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go to the 4th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to begin at verse 13, and after that we'll turn over to the book of Revelation. And some might say today, what a strange place to go in Scripture concerning Easter. But I believe today that it has everything to do with our celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13 said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says this, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why don't you look at your neighbor and tell him, everything is going to be all right. everything is going to be all right. Now, if you would turn with me to Revelation, we're going to go to the first chapter. Verse 18, very quickly. First chapter, Revelation, the 18th verse. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Oh, let me tell you, that's the rest of the story. That's the rest of the story. You want to know what Resurrection Sunday is? I want you to know that I preached it to you right there in just a moment. That Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again. And in his hand, he holds the keys to death and hell. Amen. Hell couldn't stop him. Amen. The grave couldn't hold him. What am I rejoicing about today? That Jesus is not in a tomb anymore. He's resurrected and he's alive forevermore. That's giving you the end before the beginning, isn't it? I want you to know, if that doesn't excite you, then you need a dose of the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost, that'll stir you in your soul. Praise God. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap in this place? Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated today. This past week, we, as a church body, we rejoiced over the bread and the blood. We have been in some tremendous services over the past few days. There was such an anointing in this house as the Holy Ghost moved. And we're a church that believes in the gifts of the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost moved, and there was tongues and interpretation. Then we celebrated our fellowship and relationship with one another, submitting ourselves one to another as Scripture instructs. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, there were tears as we washed one another's feet and ministered to one another. And I want to tell this congregation, my, what a powerful anointed service that we came out of on Sunday. And then yesterday on this holy week, we gathered in this house, one with another in corporate prayer, and again the Holy Ghost moved and ministered, and he just operated in the midst of the brethren, and then people went out. Our congregation went out in the community, amen, and talked to people and invited people to church and invited people to the presence of God. And in all of this, as God moved upon this pastor this week, I prayed and I considered the word this week, and you are going to have to excuse me because Easter always breaks me. Resurrection Sunday, it just breaks me when I consider what he did for me. And I begin to question myself, and I question my wife, and I begin to say, I wonder that there might be a better way, something new that I might somehow present the resurrection message in a way that we may have never considered it. We are always looking for, not to change the subject, but to present something in a new manner that is more exciting than the last. I recently upgraded on my phone. I went from an iPhone 8 to an iPhone 15. That's nearly double. That's pretty bad, isn't it? I'm as lost as a goose on that phone. Now, Brother Josh, my son-in-law, told me that when I do that, I don't quite utilize that phone as to what it could do. But, you know, there's always an upgrade. There's always a betterment. You know, they have new features and new things that it does that it didn't do. And I find you can put together movies and clips and all kinds of stuff. I can't tell you every. Matter of fact, the thing put together a movie and played it for me the other day. I didn't even know it was coming. Like a Christmas present. We always look for a new and improved way to present something. In our church facility here, as in most churches, we upgrade with carpet, and we'll upgrade with pews and seats and hardwood floor and steps, and we do everything we can to make the house of God presentable, but to present it in a new and uplifting way. And in all of my prayer and my consideration, God began to speak to me about some things. And it's this, that there's no new message to present to anyone. There's no new gimmicks that I could present to us today. There's no new fads that can save us or heal us or change us. But it's the same old message. Jesus only. Amen. It's just Jesus that's able to heal us and save us and resurrect us and redeem us and comfort us. And I can't give to you something most of us have never heard. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you today that most of you have heard far greater preachers than this old preacher. Amen. But I want to tell you today that I can reiterate the word of God and to tell you that there's only one Savior by the name of Jesus Christ that can reach into the life of a wounded person and heal them and minister to them and touch them and change them and resurrect them and make you into something, oh, that you didn't realize you could become. Hallelujah. Most of us that have been around Pentecost have heard the great message preached by the late Brother Lockridge. And the title of that message is, That's My King. Lockridge said in his message, he said, the Bible says my king is a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. Amen. David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The king is the only one in whom there's no means of measure, thereby dealing with his limitless love. You cannot measure how much he loved you. Amen? Amen. There's no far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supplies. He's the father that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Amen. And he's got everything that you need. And the Bible said that he knows what you need before you ask. Amen. Amen. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally powerful, grateful. Amen. Graceful. He is imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Amen. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled and he's unprecedented. He's supreme and he's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem to the highest criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. Amen. He is the core and the necessity, amen, of spiritual religion. Amen. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one that's able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. I want you to think about that for a moment. While he's ministering to this one over here, he's changing the life of someone over here, and he's touching the heart of someone over here. And while we're at 725 West Knoll, amen, there's other apostolic churches in this city that are ministering and preaching the gospel. And the same God that's present right here in this room is present in those rooms across this city, across this state, across this nation, across this world. Let me tell you, amen, he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. Do you know who he is? Amen, I said he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He supplies strength to the weak. He's available to the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I'm talking about somebody whose name is Jesus. If that don't change your life, nothing will. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of peace. He's the King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. Amen. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't stop him. And his name is Jesus. And that's the one I want to preach to us today. Somebody by the name of Jesus. I want you to know today is not just another ordinary day. It's a celebration of the resurrection of a Savior that is no longer in a graveside. And he came to visit you and to change your life condition, to save you. Oh, listen, amen, from all of your disabilities. I don't care what emotional problem you've got going on in your life. I know somebody whose name is Jesus can get you out of your deepest depression. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation." This is the truth of the matter. And it's absolutely undeniable today. Without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we're all dead in our sins. Amen. Let me tell us today, there's millions of people today that are serving Buddha who's still in the grave, dead. Amen. I want you to know that the prophet Muhammad has never resurrected himself. Amen. Hear me today. But Jesus Christ, 3 days later, came walking out of a tomb, amen, with power in his hand over death, hell, and the grave. I'm here to tell you, there's not a problem you have in your life that he is not able to loose you from. There's not a habit you're struggling with that he's not able to deliver you from. There's not a hurt you're dealing with that he's not able to heal in your life. There's not a mental incapacity in your brain that God can't touch. I'm here to tell you, his name is Jesus, and he'll touch you, he'll change you, he'll resurrect you, he'll save you, and he'll bless you. Praise God. Ephesians 2 tells us this, that we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope. Everyone say no hope. No hope. Amen. And without God in this world, that means this, that I was lost. Be honest with all today, I was lost. You were lost. Amen. Let me tell you, does anybody know what it means to be lost? Amen. That means I had no hope. I was lost in eternal hell. Amen. Let me tell you today, you cannot think yourself saved. You cannot fix yourself. You cannot mend yourself spiritually. You might help yourself a little bit with some self-help books. But let me tell you today, the only way you can save yourself is through Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only one that can reach into a life, amen, that don't know which way to go and don't know how to fix themselves. And God himself is able to reach into you and change you forevermore. Hallelujah. I was lost and you were lost. But now, the Bible says. Everybody say, but now. I'll get y'all to help me today. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I want you to know today that there's no sin that is harsh enough and deep enough and horrible enough can keep you away from God if you'll accept the sacrifice that Christ has given you on that hillside called Mount Calvary. I don't care what kind of ugliness you've existed in. I don't care what kind of temptation you've been dealing with in your life. I don't care what dredges of sin that you say you can't get out of. The Bible said now, by the blood of Christ, we can go boldly before the throne room of grace. I thank God that I know that there was an offering made for me on the hillside called Calvary, and today I don't have to continue in my sin. He came and gave me power over sin. He came and planted within me power that I don't have to live like that anymore. Hallelujah. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down that middle wall of partition between us, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. Everyone say, by the cross. By the cross. How? By the cross. Amen. The old song that Brother Kevin Cook used to sing, the gulf had separated me from Christ my Lord. It was a vast crossing that I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about today? Somebody that's able to come into your life and to change your whole world. Amen. Hallelujah. When I couldn't get to him, amen, he got to me. Amen. When I couldn't reach him, amen, he was able to get to me. I want you, help me just for a second, brother. Come up here, Brother Joe. Hallelujah. I want you to stand right over here. Right there. I want you to stand right over here. Amen. Let me tell us today, I don't know about you, but I remember living in a world of sin and hurt and wounds and pain. I know what it was to live away from Christ and live in the dredges of sin, even as a young man, in my mind, in my heart, my thought process. Amen. I hadn't robbed any banks or killed anybody. Amen. But sin was just as real in my life as it was in anybody else's life. Let me explain to us today. Amen. The shame about hell is this. There's going to be good people that are going to go to hell simply because they haven't accepted the sacrifice that was made on Mount Calvary, Brother Bogle. Amen. They haven't received that. And I remember as a young man, amen, I thought, oh, I need to get to God. Amen. But I wanted to do it in my own way, in my own idea. I didn't want people looking at me. Amen. I remember I've testified about this. I worked with a gentleman and I told him, I said, I wouldn't mind being Pentecost. I said, I just don't want to act like one of you guys. Amen. He said, what do you mean? I said, all that jumping and running and dancing and crying and carrying on. I said, I wouldn't mind being one of you guys. I said, but I don't want to act like that. He said, well, don't act like that. He said, just Go get the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget, amen, the night that I finally made a decision to give my life to the Lord. Amen. I want you to know that when I went up, amen, I remember getting to the altar. I remember repenting of my sins. Amen. But from that moment on, it's a blur. Amen. All that I knew is when I walked away from the altar, amen, my face was tear-stained. I was speaking in a language I didn't understand. Amen. And let me tell you this. I didn't care what I sounded like. I didn't care what I looked like. I didn't care what somebody thought about me. All that I cared was that I got to Jesus. Oh, let me tell you today, you got to get to Jesus. I was a young man. Amen. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you what sin does. It creates a chasm. Amen. Between us and God. Amen. And as hard as you'll reach, you'll never reach God. Amen. With a wall of sin between us. So that we understand the message today of Calvary. So that we understand today. Amen. The message of Resurrection Sunday is this. God is a holy God. God hates sin. Let me tell you, he don't like sin a little bit. Amen. He don't want to tolerate sin. He despises sin so much. Amen. That the Bible said that it pleased the Lord to bruise his body. Amen. To bruise the broken body of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that he hated your sin enough that he manifest himself in the flesh, and he died on a hill called Mount Calvary. Amen. And he allowed his body to be whipped and beaten and bruised. Amen. At the old whipping post. Why? Because he loved you. Because he desired to have a relationship with you. I got good news for you. You've got a God that came and fought a fight for you and won it on a hill called Mount Calvary, and you don't have to continue in sin. Amen. Amen. Would you come a little bit closer, Brother Joe? Amen. I remember I would think, man, if I could just get to God, I would stretch your hand out. I could just get to God, you know, everything would be all right. Amen. But I could just go so far. Amen. You're reaching. I could just go so far. Amen. But I couldn't reach to where God was because there was something in between. There was something there. Amen. That kept me from his presence. It kept me from his anointing. And it kept me from his grace. Amen. And God, amen, through humanity, amen, wanted to reach into lost humanity's life. And he desired to have a relationship with mankind. And he wanted to get hold of him. Amen. But he knew he couldn't touch sin. He couldn't grasp sin. He couldn't get around sin. And he knew if he got around it, amen, it would defile him. I'm preaching Calvary to us today. Amen. And as much, amen, as man wanted to get to God and God wanted to get to man, amen, this old chasm of sin, amen, it separated man and God. I'm here to preach to somebody today and tell you this. If you'll make a commitment to get rid of a life of sin through the broken body of Jesus Christ, he'll change you today. You don't have to leave here the way you got here today. Because what God wanted to do in reaching humanity, amen, you stay right there, and man wanting to do, amen, to reach God, amen, they could not do without the Lamb. Right. It took the Lamb. Amen. That was slain from the foundation of the world. Let me tell you, from the moment that Adam sinned and failed God, from the moment that Adam messed up, amen, and wanted back in the garden and wanted back in relationship, amen, God's word promised him this: in the day you eat the fruit, you're going to die. Amen. Adam died of spiritual death on that day. Amen. And God so loved him. Oh, that he made a promise. Amen. That he said, oh, that old serpent may have bruised your foot. Amen. But that foot one day is going to bruise his head. And I'm going to make a way one day that I'm going to be able to reach out to this man and reach out and get him. Amen. And let me tell you, a few years later, along came a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ that said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bridge the gap. Said, I'll connect you. I'll get you together. Let me tell us today, you got a right today to rejoice. You got a right to praise him. You got a right to honor. Oh, why? Because of the sacrifice that was made. I've said this before, there's not enough self-help books anywhere to get you to heaven. Amen. Do I believe in them? Sure. I believe there's things in our life we can fix through reading. But I want you to know that without the gospel of Jesus Christ, without this gospel right here, amen, you'll never be able to save yourself. Hallelujah. God bridged that gap with himself, amen, in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What does that mean today? That without the blood of Jesus, let me tell you today, without the blood of Jesus, there is no salvation. Without the blood applied, there is no resurrected life. Without the blood, oh my, listen, amen, I've thought about this, and it's been mentioned before. Amen. The Passover meal. How many know about that Passover meal? If you do, raise your hand today. Amen. We got a knowledgeable congregation today. Of those 1, 2, 3 million Jews, however many it was, I wonder how many scoundrels were in that place. I wonder how many liars were in that house. I wonder how many worthless ones, or we would consider, were there that day. I wonder how many sorry people that hurt and wounded people there were, amen, in a congregation of over 2 or 3 million people. A few? Now let me tell you, the Bible said that they took the blood of the Lamb and they applied it to the post of the door and the mantle. And let me tell you what God did. He saved every sinner in the congregation because the blood was applied. Oh, you're not hearing me today. He saved the wretched. He saved the miserable. He saved the wounded. He saved the hurting. I'm here to tell you today, there's a Savior by the name of Jesus that can reach into your condition of life, and he can change everything about you. And you don't have to live in the same way you've lived all of your life. Amen. Oh, I'm too bad. I've wronged God too bad. I've failed too much. Amen. Let me tell you, it's not so. If you could understand anything today, amen, if we could understand the blood and what it does. 1 Corinthians 15 said this. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, everybody say resurrection. Resurrection. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ be not risen. And if Christ is not risen, listen to this, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith also is in vain. For if the dead rise not, there is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are dead in your sins. I thank God for a hill called Mount Calvary. I thank God for the blood that was shed on that hillside. I thank God for the instrument of death, which was the cross on that hillside. I thank God for the whipping post and every stripe that was laid upon his back and the crown of thorns that was laid upon his head. Oh, but let me tell you, I thank God that 3 days later he got up out of the grave. And oh, let me tell you what I'm preaching today. Amen. He died on Friday, but he rose on Sunday. Today I'm not just celebrating his blood, I'm celebrating his resurrection. He might have died on Friday, but he was resurrected on Sunday. Today, I want you to know by the power of his resurrection, are you brought into his fellowship? Hallelujah. Praise God. Take away the resurrection, there is no gospel. Amen. You've got a good story, but without the resurrection, there is no gospel. One of the surest things in this world that you can bank on is this. There was a resurrection of Jesus Christ. It happened. It really did. Amen. What does that tell us? Amen. The Bible said, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you were dead in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perish. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I heard someone say it like this one time. You know, this is a good life. If I was never resurrected, this is a mighty good life. I'm going to tell us today, I appreciate the concept, amen, of living for God, being good, and enjoying the blessings of God. But let me tell you, I'm tired of this old world. Amen. I'm looking forward to that one that's coming. I'm looking forward to the eastern sky party and the trumpet sounding. I'm looking forward to what I know is fixing to happen in this world. Oh, what is preacher preaching this morning? I'm here to tell you this. We can look back over thousands of years of a Savior that died on a hill called Mount Calvary. But I'm telling you, everybody, you better start getting ready because the resurrection's on the way. Jesus himself is coming after a church that has made herself ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Everyone say first fruits. First fruits. Amen. What are first fruits? That's the first thing of something that is to come in mass. Amen. I know today what the Word of God says. Amen. The Bible tells us here, as in the scripture we read, He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You talking about a resurrection Sunday message? You better believe I'm preaching about a resurrection Sunday message. Listen to this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, amen, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. Let me tell us today. I know that we have talked about those that have gone on to meet their reward. Amen. Let me tell us today. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Amen. A couple of years ago, I buried one of the most precious men in my life that had ever been in my life, my father. Amen. Even today, amen, I don't visit the cemetery maybe as oft as I should. Because there's a detachment that I feel when I go to that place, Mom. Amen. And I believe that God meant for it to be that way. I know it's a peaceful place. I know it's a place that we can go ponder. I know it's a place that we can go consider. Amen. But Brother Walden, Dad ain't in that grave. The body's there, but Dad ain't there. I want you to know, amen, that the Bible said that those that are asleep in Christ will he bring with him. In other words, amen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. But guess what? There's going to be a resurrection day, and God is going to get up an old body out of a grave one day. The trumpet's going to sound, and somebody that has passed on is going to get up, shake himself, and say, my God, it's resurrection morning. I got news for somebody today. It's time to get ready. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I hope this is speaking to somebody this morning like it did me. Hallelujah. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. What are we going to do there in the clouds? You know, you see little anecdotes, and you see little funny things that people put in the papers that show us, you know, one day bouncing around from cloud to cloud, you know, as idiotic little creatures. Let me tell you, that ain't the way that it's going to happen. Amen. But the Bible said this, there's a divine meeting in the air that I'm going to have with Christ Jesus. I want everybody to know this. Amen. I believe one day that those that have gone on in the Lord, if God so chooses to let me live until that resurrection morning, amen, that there is going to be a grand reunion on that day. I'm going to stand with mamas and papas. I'm going to rejoice with daddies that have gone on. I'm going to shout with family members that have lived for God for years. Oh, I want to tell somebody, I'm getting ready for the other side. I'm getting ready for glory. I'm getting ready for what God has for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are living today in a world that is wreaked with problems and troubles and trials. Amen. I no longer listen to news. Boy, that makes me an interesting kind of person, doesn't it? Amen. If you want to talk the world's latest events with me, I don't know who's winning in the race between Trump and Biden. Amen. That's for God to decide. But I know this, that when I listened to the news, I became one of the most depressed people that ever lived. As a matter of fact, I'm going to challenge you. Turn your radio on. Turn it over to the news. Amen. See if you don't want to plug your ears with cotton in a little bit.
Amen.
They ought to call it bad news. CNN, bad news. Fox, bad news. Amen. Because there's nothing ever any good in any of it. But let me tell somebody this. I got good news for everybody. Jesus is no longer in a grave. I got good news for everybody. You don't have to live a world, amen, in sin right here. Jesus came to set you free. And the Bible said, he that the Son is set free is free indeed. Stand with me today. Hallelujah.